Thanks for listening to Matt McLaughlin History. Become a subscriber to receive exclusive bonus episodes, ad-free listening, early access to all episodes, and special member-only events. Click on the link in the show notes or visit patreon.com/mmhistory.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A Living History production.
This is the Living History Podcast, broadcasting live across the airwaves.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on another episode of Living History. Thank you to everyone who responded so strongly to our episode on the Red Baron last week. We told the incredible story of the World War I fighter ace, Manfred von Richthofen, the Red Baron who brought down 80 Allied planes during his career before eventually being killed by Australian ground crews in 1918. It was a really fascinating discussion I had with Dr. Aaron Pegram from the Australian War Memorial, and he showcased some of the amazing items they have in the collection of that wonderful institution relating to the life and to the death of the Red Baron. So if you haven't listened to that podcast, please go back and do so, because it was just fascinating. Also listen to some of the other podcasts we've done in recent weeks, because we are very proud of the work that we've done recently on bringing this history to life. And this week is no exception. We're going to the UK, and in a couple of weeks' time, it will be Guy Fawkes Night. And Guy Fawkes Night is a commemoration that's held every year in the UK to remember the gunpowder plot, the plot to blow up the Houses of Parliament and to force a change of government in the UK. And the principal character in this plot of 1605 was a man by the name of Guy Fawkes. And Guy Fawkes was captured by the authorities in the basement of the Houses of Parliament with a huge cache of gunpowder, about to light the fuse and blow up the Houses of Parliament, which would certainly have killed everyone in the building. And he was arrested, he was tortured, eventually he confessed, and then he was executed. He was hung, drawn, and quartered, what a savage way to go, in January 1606. And I was fortunate last year when I was in the UK to go to the National Archives, and I held in my hand his confession that he had signed, just illustrating his part in the gunpowder plot and explaining his motives for wanting to overthrow the government. It was an extraordinary document. I love holding in my hand these fragments of history, these items that bring history to life. It's so much more compelling than just reading a story in a book or watching a documentary. I actually held this letter in my hand. I saw Guy Fawkes' handwriting confessing to his part in the gunpowder plot. Absolutely extraordinary. And I was fortunate to be joined by curators from the National Archives who talked me through the story. And so please enjoy this. It was a special moment. I'm enjoying bringing this to you. Here is the story of Guy Fawkes' confession.
So the gunpowder plot is one of these hugely visceral moments in English history, and is still celebrated to this day on the 5th of November. It happened in 1605 when disgruntled Catholics, militant Catholics in England, dissatisfied with how the Reformation that Henry the VIII and his officials had begun to impose upon England was playing out. Catholics weren't allowed to openly worship. They were fined if they didn't attend Church of England services. They were denied public office. And they wished to reverse this situation. And when Elizabeth the First died in 1603, James the Sixth of Scotland becomes James the First of England, and we have the creation of Great Britain with the union of the two kingdoms, Scotland and England. James was quite relatively enlightened man, and there was a great hope amongst those English subjects who had, as they saw themselves, remained loyal to the Roman Catholic Church. Catholic subjects were seen as a threat because they retained their loyalty to the Pope rather necessarily to the English or now British sovereign. And the Catholic loyalty therefore extended to England's enemies, in particular the Spanish. So they were seen as a threat. They were seen that in a manner that undermined English sovereignty. And as England had been at war with Spain during the 1590s, and Spain had sought to exploit England's weaknesses, English Catholics were preyed upon by the authorities.
And what led to the famous threat against Parliament?
So what happens is, in the events take place in 1605, November 1605, but for the preceding 2.5 years, it had been building towards it. James comes to power in March 1603, when Elizabeth dies. And there is a great hope amongst English Catholics, as I say, that there will be some sort of lessening of the penal laws or the recusancy laws, those who didn't declare their faith to the Church of England. James didn't necessarily dismiss these hopes, but he didn't want to encourage them too much. At the same time, he was trying to strike a balance between Catholics on one side and Puritans on the very other end of the spectrum. And Catholics began to petition him in 1603 and 1604 to reverse the recusancy laws, and he says he won't. At the same time, in sort of geopolitics or high politics, there is an effort amongst the English and the Spanish to draft a peace treaty. So England is moving towards no longer being at war with its major Catholic foe. This is a disappointment for English Catholics, as they had hoped to be able to exploit the Spanish war effort against England. So you have this sort of local scene and larger scene taking place. James very quickly realises he's gone too far in encouraging the Catholics, and he tries to dampen down their hopes. But he does say that he won't impose the fines that are to be levied on people who don't go to church services, the Church of England services. So he's trying to strike a balance. It's not enough for some people, though. And a group of plotters centred on a man called Robert Catesby, and his fellow plotters begin to plot the overthrow of James, and they want to place a Catholic princess onto the throne, Princess Elizabeth, his daughter. What they suggest is that they blow up Parliament in quite a grandiose manner. They want to blow up the House of Lords, and they start to concoct a plan whereby they rent a house adjacent to the House of Lords, and they start to dig from the cellar, trying to dig into the basement and the cellars of the Lords itself. By the middle of the summer 1605, they then discover that the house next door is up for rent, and it has direct access into the basement of and the cellars of the House of Lords, the Palace of Westminster. So they rent this, and they start to ferry in gunpowder. 36 barrels of gunpowder are eventually brought in, enough to blow up the building and kill everybody in it, without a doubt. And the plot is discovered. Rumours start to circle amongst Catholics who remain loyal and don't want the course of action by these militants to go ahead, and it comes to the attention of the authorities. In early November, it's brought to the King's attention, and he orders Parliament to be checked, the basements to be checked, the Palace of Westminster to be to be looked over, and they don't find anything initially. And then he reorders, go back and look again. These rumours are sufficient enough. Parliament is to meet on the 5th of November, but on the day before, Guy Fawkes is discovered in the cellars of Westminster Palace with a fuse, good to go. The plan had been he was to light what's called a slow fuse, which takes a long time to burn down before it hits the gunpowder. He lights that, he takes off, and there's to be a general uprising of Catholics in England with a puppet queen on the throne with sympathies to the Catholics. It's a madcap idea, quite frankly. It was never going to succeed. But nonetheless, in the popular imagination at the time, the English imagination, England saw itself as being surrounded by a Catholic threat, no less in Ireland, no less on the continent by the papacy, and the alliances were fragile. And this was demonstrative of that threat, that they wanted to kill the king and everybody in the House of Lords. As Parliament convened, the king would have been giving his what was known as a speech from the throne, opening Parliament.
And how does this wonderful handwritten document relate to that story?
So these are all the examinations of those who were arrested. Guy Fawkes himself was examined several times over a week, pretty physically interrogated. He was quite badly beaten up, I'd say. You can see from his signatures that his signatures get progressively neater as he recovers from the beatings that he suffered. And what the authorities are doing really here is they want to see the extent of the conspiracy. Is it just an isolated matter, or is this a general conspiracy? And they, within about a week, they're confident enough that this is a small group acting without any major backing of nobles and gentry across England. And those nobles and gentry who did back them were rounded up pretty quickly.
What is Guy Fawkes saying in this this interrogation slash confession?
He's revealing his motives, what drove him and his conspirators, the fact that Catholics were, and they saw Catholicism to be the true faith, not the Reformed religion as practiced in England. That they also, the document also reveals Guy Fawkes' own personal antipathy to the Scots. And James being a Scot, King James being a Scot, this all is drawn out by his interrogators. So we see not just the personal, but again the geopolitical, as Fawkes' personal faith is laid out, his personal motivations and the motivations of his co-conspirators to overthrow the Church of England and place a Catholic back on the throne.
There's a, you'd say, a conspiracy theory that Guy Fawkes was a scapegoat, that he didn't do it, that it was all a big sham. Have you seen any evidence in this documentation that suggests that?
That's why we go back to the original documents. Always go back to the original documents to discount conspiracy theories. And this is, it's very, very clear. He admits, you know, as many militants do, he's proud of the actions he tried to take, shambolic as they were, but almost devastating.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review for the podcast, and visit livinghistorytv.com for more great history content.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.